All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program. But we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given, either by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. What were some of the words that young people use today to describe something that's very good? You know, back in the dark ages when I was younger, we had several different slang words that would mean that something was great or good. It was a gas. That meant it was fun. It was a blast. That is, it was more than fun. And then there was the old standard that if something was cool, that also meant that it was good. I have an even older slang phrase that was used to describe something good, and that was out of this world. And that became a phrase used by young people to describe things that were considered to be great or very good. In fact, this is the slang dictionary during the 1940s. So let's do a little thinking about that phrase and the slang that the young people used. If it's good because it's out of this world, that's saying, first of all, that things in this world are not good, and that, number two, there is a place out of this world where something is better can be found. And with that, I'd have to agree completely. I believe there is a very good spiritual lesson here for us to think about. We sing a song occasionally that's entitled, This World Is Not My Home. And the lesson of the song is the very thing that we're talking about. It's a song that teaches us that there is a place out of this world that's better than this world. It's an important lesson because God wants His children to look forward to being at home with Him out of this world. So much so that we quit considering our time in this world as something that's permanent, and then realize that life is only a temporary journey in which we're passing through a foreign land trying to get home. Hebrews 11 verse 13 says, These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. God wants us to have the same attitude that Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Jacob had. He doesn't want us to get so attached to this world that we don't want to go to the home that He's prepared for us. How many of you have ever been homesick? And homesickness is simply a strong desire to be home with mother and dad, in your room, in your own bed, in the place you know and you're secure in. That's the way God wants His children to think about the home that He's prepared for them. So let's look at this world and why it is to be less attractive than God's world. If God doesn't want us to become too attached to this world, there must be a reason that this world is to be less attractive than His. You know, in the Bible, the term world is used several different ways. It's used to describe all of God's creation when it said, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In these scriptures and others, like Hebrews 11 and verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. In these kind of scriptures, the term world is used to refer to all of heaven and earth, the entirety of God's created universe. But most often when the world term world is used, it's in reference to creation. It speaks of the earth on which man dwells. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and all of its fullness, the world and those that dwell therein. When Paul was in Athens, he said in Acts 17, verse 24, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. So this is the world that God designed and determined for humanity to live on. He created the world especially for mankind. And then we find that in the beginning, all things created by God were good for man. Man lived in paradise God created for him. There was a place where everything that man needed was provided for him, but because of sin, the created earth became cursed. And we read this in Genesis 3 in verse 17, when he said to Adam, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I have commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all of the days of your life. Now man lives in this world only by labor and toil, the sweat of his brow, instead of the paradise that God placed Adam and Eve in. What does that mean for us? Well, someone might say we still have many wonderful and beautiful things to enjoy in the world, and certainly we do. We were created to enjoy the wonders of creation, and all of that enjoyment has not been taken away. There is much to enjoy and to be enjoyed, and God wants us to see and to appreciate the good things that he's provided. But think about this. With every beautiful sunrise or sunset, with every beautiful, clear, sunny day, there are still those nights when we cringe in fear because of thunder and lightning, the threat of storms that can do great damage. With every beautiful flower you see and stop to smell, there are thorns, grass burrs, thorn bushes, locust trees. There's beauty and wonder to behold and enjoy in this world. But there's also sickness and heartache, pain and suffering and persecution. Now, I'm not trying to depress us, nor am I saying that we should always be negative about the world that we live in, but the point is this. This world is not perfect. There is a better place. There is another important thing that we need to remember about the world, and that is this world will pass away. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. You see, there's nothing permanent about the things around us, good or bad, that are permanent. Think about it. All of the pleasure that we can experience in this world, they're temporary. And the Hebrew writer calls them passing pleasures. But even the good things of life that are created for our enjoyment, they're going to pass away when the earth and all of the creation is burned up. You know, I don't know if you've ever paid any attention to the old houses that you see as you drive down the road. Those houses that are just about to fall down, holes in the roof, windows broke out, boards or bricks falling off the wall, every one of those old houses were once brand new. Families lived in them. And when those families first moved into those houses, they never thought of them getting so old that they would fall apart and fall down. But they have. And just like those old houses, the world we live in will one day cease to exist because it's only temporary. There are some good things here, but that too will cease when the world ends. So the term world is also used figuratively to represent all of humanity, that is, the human world. For example, Jesus foretold that the gospel message would be preached to the whole world. In Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all of the world as a witness to all of the nation. And that was a prediction that Paul said that had been fulfilled. In Romans 10, verse 18, he says, have you not heard? Yes, indeed. The sound has gone out to all of the earth and their words to the ends of the world. This is the world of people. This is the world that we have our families, our friends, the people that we live next door to and down the street from, and the people that we attend school with or work with, the people that we come in contact with. And guess what God intended for us to live together, to have families, friends, and he intends that we enjoy those relationships as much as we possibly can. People are created to love one another and to be loved by others. God made us that way, and God wants us to enrich the lives of other people and be enriched by the time and the experience that we share together. But Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 29 says, "Truly, this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes." On the other hand, we see the world of humanity is a world made up of weak and dependent people, subject to sin, unable to direct their own way, unable to determine right and wrong on their own. Jeremiah 10, verse 29, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walks to direct his own steps." And as wonderful as our relationship should be, the reality is we often suffer pain and heartache from the very people who are supposed to love us the most. Jesus had this very problem, his earthly family. Those who would think that his greatest supporters, yet they attacked Jesus verbally, accusing him of being crazy. We read about that in Mark 3 and verse 21. Even the people that Jesus grew up with, his neighbors and kinsmen, they rejected Jesus, and they tried to stone him in Mark 6 and verse 3. So the lesson again is not that we should shun friendship or turn away from our families. It's that we shouldn't enjoy the associations and relationship with other people. That's not the lesson. The lesson is that as good as these things are, there's something better outside the realm of this world. The term world also applies to moral conditions of man that is opposite and hostile toward God. John 7 and verse 7 is an example. "The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil." In 1 John 3 and verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him." You see, this world is not only hostile toward God, but also towards all of those that would follow God. In this use of the word world, there is nothing good to be said about it. Unlike the created world and the world of humanity, where there are glimmers of goodness and things that we can enjoy and should enjoy, in this world, Satan is the ruler, not God. 1 John 5:19, "We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." This is the world that God calls us out of. This is the world that sent Jesus to the cross. This is the world that John warned us not to love, because if we love this world, we become the enemies of God rather than his friends. So we're still talking about people here, but people who reject God's law, they rebel against God's authority. Sometimes, though, it's a little difficult to determine who just makes up the world. Sure, murderers, thieves, liars, extortioners, all those really bad people, we know that are in this group of people, but sometimes there's some pretty good people that are in this group as well. People who take care of their families, they love their children and their spouses. They're honest, they work hard, they often share what they have with the needy, who obey the laws of the land, and they respect the rights of others. You know, people that we think of as being good, decent folks. But if these people are not in Christ by way of faith and obedience, if they have not obeyed the gospel and aren't living lives directed by God's word, they are in the world. And the truth is, they are in the world along with all of the murderers, fornicators, thieves, liars, and idolaters, because they are among those who oppose Jesus and his disciples because they opposed the truth of the gospel. Friends, that's all this world has to offer. Some good things created by God for us to enjoy, but things that are only short-lived and temporary. So because of this, we should always think of this world only as temporary. And we traveling through this world to get to our eternal home. We see our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Under them, we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbertville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.